Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, and I'm your Bible teacher for this book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, the glorious God that appeared in this earth in human form to sacrifice himself for the sins of mankind. And all that look to him, just like Moses raised up that brazen serpent in the wilderness, will be saved. Amen. We are in our 62nd session of the book of Revelation, and what I want to look at today is a continuation of the Davidic throne, this wonderful throne that was prophesied to the seed of David, to his progeny in the flesh. But more importantly, the Davidic throne is where the Lord Jesus, the Messiah that came through Israel, is going to sit and run the government in Jerusalem when the millennial kingdom is established. The New Testament speaks of this as well. Let's look at what Luke 1, verses 32 to 33 say. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now you remember Jacob, the patriarch, his name was changed to Israel. So he, the Lord Jesus, gets David's throne and reigns forever. Now, all four aspects of the Davidic throne are mentioned in these verses, which sums up the Old Testament passages. The Son of Mary will sit on the eternal throne over the eternal kingdom. You know, he was born unto the eternal dynasty. The eternality of the dynasty, the kingdom is assured because they all culminated in the person who himself is eternal, the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah. You know, the promises that God made to Israel have not been abrogated. They have not been taken away. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel's promises stand. And the Lord Jesus is going to fulfill them exactly as he said he would. You know, all of the four unfulfilled, unconditional covenants each point to one of the four aspects of the final restoration of Israel. One, they will be reunited as a nation. Two, they will be the center of Gentile attention. Three, they will experience righteousness and holiness. And four, they will experience security, peace, joy, and gladness. Now let's look at these. Let's look at how they would be reunited as a nation. Now, we've been looking at the covenants to examine the development of Israel's status in the Messianic Kingdom. There are, though, additional passages in the Old Testament that affirm Israel's position in the Millennial Kingdom. And it's important to remember the Lord Jesus' words, which he frequently spoke, admonishing the religious leaders of his day for not knowing or believing or trusting the Scriptures. And we also have to bear in mind that the Scriptures he spoke of was our Old Testament. Now, the Jews call this the Tanakh, and it's a three-syllable word based on their Hebrew words for the three sections of the Old Testament. Torah, T, Nevi'im, That means the prophets, and Ketuvim means the writing. So Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Tanakh. That's what they call the Old Testament. And it's important that we realize Jesus admonished these religious leaders for not knowing the scripture. The same thing is true today. Churches are filled with people that don't know the Bible. And they've got all kinds of ideas of what they think it says based on supposition or poor teaching or being in churches that simply don't teach the whole counsel of God. We have to bear in mind that Jesus lived the Old Testament. He fulfilled the Old Testament. He affirmed all the prophetic passages of the Old Testament. Matthew 22:29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. John 5, verses 46 to 47 say, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Matthew 26:56a, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. You know, Israel was divided into two separate kingdoms after the reign of Solomon. It was around 931 or so. And after the death of Solomon, his sons were unable to reach an agreement about who was going to keep the kingdom and how they were going to keep it united. They lost the northern 10 regions to a despot named Jeroboam. Rehoboam informed the people that he was going to be harsher than his father had been, causing them to seek support from this rebel named Jeroboam. So these 10 groups, the 10 regions, the 10 tribes, they went to the north with Jeroboam, and Rehoboam, who had taken over in the south, was left with Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes in the south. And there's also Simeon that's assimilated into the territory of Judah, but he didn't have his own territory. Now, Jeroboam was supported by Egypt and the Pharaoh Shishak, but because of this, the 10 tribes in the north broke away from the rule of Rehoboam, who was left, as I said, to rule Judah and Benjamin. Now, the southern kingdom took its name from Judah. The citizens and the Levites, who were real believers up in the north, they came down to Judah. So there's no truth to the myth of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. There's never been any 10 lost tribes of Israel. Another name for this is British Israelism or Anglo-Israelism. And it's a claim that people of Western Europe are descended in direct lineal descendants of the 10 lost tribes. That is not true. And it's often accompanied by the belief that the British royal family is directly descended from the line of King David. Now, this British Israelism has been accorded no scientific proof, and it's contrary to the scripture. So we need to make that point. 2 Chronicles 11, verses 14 and 16 say, for the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest office unto the Lord. And after them out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord, God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. You know, Jeroboam was a real apostate. He was just a despot. He erected two golden bulls and shrines, and idol worship was encouraged. So he just really broke from the Hebrew traditions and the rule. Boy, this caused the Lord to bring the Assyrians and to take away those northern 10 tribes in captivity in 722 B.C. The southern two tribes, they lasted until 586 B.C. when the Babylonians finally took them into captivity. Look what 2 Chronicles 11:15 says, and he appointed him priest for the high places and for the demons and for the calves which he had made. My goodness. The division has never been healed, but it will be in the millennial kingdom, never to be broken again. Jeremiah 3:18, in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave them for an inheritance unto your fathers. Jeremiah mentions it, but Ezekiel discusses it at length in his 37th chapter, which he calls the Valley of the Vision of Dry Bones. And I'm going to read the first 14 verses from that chapter, and carefully listen to this. The hand of Jehovah was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of Jehovah, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord Jehovah, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, an earthquake, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon them, and flesh came up, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Come up from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut clean off. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Jehovah when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, Jehovah, have spoken it and performed it, saith Jehovah. You know, Ezekiel was first commanded to prophesy over these scattered dry bones, and when he does, they come together with muscle and skin, and then they receive this breath of light. The text tells us that this represents Israel becoming alive again, and they represent the whole house of Israel, both sides, Israel and Judah, which had become spiritually dead and dispersed. So God regathers them, and at that time they will yet again possess the land. So the time of the regathering and the possession, Israel's going to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, so that they have a living and right relationship with him. This clearly speaks to the millennial kingdom and not the present gathering, which is in unbelief and unregeneration that's been occurring since the late 1800s. It's interesting now. Ezekiel then makes additional aspects of Jehovah's revelation known. Now I'm going to read Ezekiel 37, verses 15 to 23. The word of Jehovah came unto me again, saying, If thou, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and the children of Israel, his companions, then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them for thee one to another in one stick. that they may become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. And they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, whither they are gone, and gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they be divided into two kings any more at all. And that's the point that I was trying to make here. But going on with the text, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Now, through the imagery that God commands Ezekiel to take two sticks and write on each one, the first he's told to write Judah and the other one Joseph. After this, he's told to put the two sticks together so they become one stick in his hand. Now, this is interpreted to me that the two kingdoms will someday be reunited under one nation, under one king in one kingdom. And at that time, they're going to be thoroughly cleansed of their sins, which was the root cause of the original division. Now, Joseph and Ephraim, his son, is being represented as Israel in the north. Now, Israel will become the center of Gentile attention. There's at least seven passages in the Old Testament that speak to this subject. Let's take a look at one of those passages. It's Isaiah 14, verses 1 to 2. For Jehovah will have compassion on Jacob, and yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the sojourner shall join himself with them. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Jehovah, for servants and for handmaids, and they shall take them captive, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. You know, after the regeneration and their restoration, Gentiles are going to align themselves with Israel to worship the same Lord. You know, as Israel is being regathered, the Gentiles are going to be conducting the Jews back to the land. Finally, Gentiles are going to be possessed by Israel and become their servants. Isaiah talks more about this. Let's take a look at what he says here in Isaiah 49, verses 22 to 23. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my ensign to the peoples. And they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their faces to the earth, and lick the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am Jehovah, and they that wait on me shall not be put to shame. Now here, Isaiah is saying that the Lord is going to command the Gentiles to lead the Jews back to the land, and all the strata, all of them, of the Gentiles, from the kings and queens on down to the common people, are going to be participating in this regathering. They're going to pay deep obeisance to the Jews, as the Jews have never had before. The Lord concludes this passage, and it affirms that those who continue to trust God will never be put to shame. And those who refuse God and won't believe will have no such promise. My goodness, I feel so bad for the people that don't read the Old Testament, that don't understand the Bible, that don't know these things, and develop these heretical theologies like replacement theology, which says the church has replaced Israel. There is no future for the nation Israel. Boy, these passages don't agree with that heresy. Boy, don't, oh my goodness, believers, don't ever accept the heresy that the church has replaced Israel. Paul says in Romans chapter 11 that Israel is just on the sidelines until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and then all Israel will be saved. Well, they're just on the sidelines for now. Now, Israel, here's, look what Isaiah says here about Israel. In his 66th chapter, he's stating the reasons of Israel becoming the center of Gentile attraction is the fact that the Shekinah glory is going to abide over Israel. God's presence. Here's Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But Jehovah will arise above thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Look what Isaiah 61 states. I'm going to read I'm going to read 4 through 9. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, and ye shall be named the priests of Jehovah. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, ye shall have double, and instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, Jehovah, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity, and I will give them their recompense in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All that see them shall acknowledge them. And they are the seed which Jehovah hath blessed. So at the regathering, Israel is going to rebuild all the desolate cities of the land. Remember now, much of this is going to be destroyed during the Great Tribulation's wars. And the Gentiles are going to become servants to Israel, feeding their livestock and providing agricultural labor. The Jews will become ministers of God's word, to the Gentiles, and they're going to receive the wealth of the Gentiles for their enjoyment. The Gentiles will never again shame Israel, but rather the Jews will receive a double portion of all blessings and possessions. So this is going to be the result of the new covenant from Jeremiah 31. The Jews will all be known among the Gentiles, and all the Gentiles will acknowledge that it is the Jews who have been especially chosen by God for such blessings. Micah also addresses the same issue of Gentile submission to the Jews during the millennial kingdom. Look what Micah 7, verses 14 to 17 say. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thy heritage, which dwell solitarily in the forest in the midst of Carmel. Feed them in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, as in the days of thy coming forth out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto them marvelous things. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, like crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their closed places. They shall come with fear unto Jehovah our God and shall be afraid because of thee. You know, miracles are going to accompany the regathering. When the Gentiles see this, they're going to stop reproaching the Jews, and they're going to have this reverential fear of them. Then they're going to submit to the God of Israel in fear. The restoration is going to cause the Jews to become the center of Gentile attention. Look what Zephaniah 3 verse 20 says. At that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth when I bring back your captivity before your eyes, saith Jehovah. Finally, when 10 Gentiles grab the Jews' clothes in the past, then what's going to happen is they're going to say, let us go with you, for we have heard God is with you. In other words, they won't steal from them anymore. They won't harm them. They won't persecute them. There won't be any more Nazi Holocaust type things. Not in the millennial kingdom. At the time of the final restoration, the Jews are going to be no longer reproached. They will instead be treated with reverential respect, for they shall be known as ministers of God. I'm going to read one more passage before we close, and that's Zechariah 8, verse 23. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, and they'll take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Beloved, I am so blessed that you could join us for this study of the book of Revelation, and you can see these wonderful characteristics of the millennial kingdom. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you accept the historical facts of his life, his death, and his resurrection, then you are born again, as he said. You must be born again to enter the kingdom. And we pray that these messages have been a blessing to you, that you realize what is going to happen to this earth and what is yet in front of us. I am so excited about these things, as you can probably tell from the way that I approach this book and the Bible in its entirety. I just wish more people taught the Bible so that this entire word went out. Not just a few pithy messages about being good and getting benefits from being a believer. Those things are good too, but you need to hear the whole story, the whole counsel of God. If you have become a believer, please call me 877-706-2479. Or if you want a set of notes related to this, 877-706-2479. I'm going to close for today. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you in our next session.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening, and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.